Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
All right. Praise the Lord. We are getting started in our Bible lesson for today. I am Dr. Pickett, and our lesson is the top 10 lies told to us in church. The top 10 lies I was told in church. And this is the second part in the series. And we're going to open up in a word of prayer. We're going to pray for Wanda especially. The Lord will touch her. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the praise and the worship. We thank you for being who you are. Lord God, all the glory and the honor and the praise belongs to you. Lord, help us to lift you up constantly in our lives. Help us, Lord, to keep you as the foremost motivator in everything that we do. And Lord, I pray that as we come together, Lord God, united in prayer, if anybody's praying on something specific in their life, Lord, I combine my prayer with theirs, Lord, as we come together, Lord God, and agree in unity, asking for things to be done according to your will. Be glorified in all things. Speak to us, Lord God, as we tackle this topic about the 10 top lies told to us in church. Lord God, your word is truth, Lord, so lead us and guide us into all truth and be exalted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we conquered a lot of territory last week. We talked about the Jezebel spirit. That was a lie. That you can lose your salvation. That was a lie. Salvation by sinning, that is. That was a lie. That a woman cannot teach or preach. That was a lie. And that you must keep the Ten Commandments to be a true Christian. That was a lie. Now we're going to go to the next one, and it is, you can speak things into existence. I can't tell you how many times I've seen in church, and people talk about it all the time, you can name it, and you can claim it. And that if you speak it, it's yours, and all this kind of stuff, and you know, I was believing it too at one time. I was believing it. They were telling me, you know, that I could, you know, claim stuff as mine. That I gotta speak things out and speak it into existence. And I began to move and began to speak all kind of good things into existence, but they never manifested. And then when I wondered why they never manifested, they said the problem was my faith. So I increased my faith and I began speaking bigger things. And one day, what really got a hold of me was I was listening to one of T.D. Jakes' megafests. And his manpower. And Creflo Dollar was teaching. And man, Creflo Dollar was getting down. Yeah, amen. Go on, Creflo. And he said, the reason that you don't have money is you don't speak to money. And I said, what's he talking about? And then he gave an example in the Bible. And he tried to say that Jesus spoke to money or something like that. And so he had about all 10,000 men in the arena screaming, money cometh to me now. And I was in my car driving and I'm screaming, money cometh to me now. And I was having a good time down the highway because I knew that the answer I needed was to speak that money into existence. And it never came. But then I heard a still small voice. And the still small voice reminded me of the verse in Romans 4:17. It says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, when God spoke to Abraham. Before him who believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Not man.
That's right.
Only God.
Yes.
Only God can speak and something appear. Only God can speak and something happen. Absolutely. Romans 4:17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him who believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were.
Who was he talking?
When God was talking to Abraham,
yes.
And when he was going to kill Isaac,
yes.
And then God told Abraham, hold back your knife,
yes.
Because Abraham believed that God was able to raise Isaac back up, so he wasn't afraid of killing him, because he knew what God did in the past in creation.
Oh.
He spoke to the nothing,
yes.
And he made it into something.
Okay.
God spoke, let there be light. There was no light, but he spoke to it, and it was.
Yes.
You know, whatever God speaks must happen.
Yes.
Nothing in the universe resists the commands of God.
Amen.
But we are not God. And it's a false teaching that actually goes into, not witchcraft, but it goes into paganism. And there's a book out called The Secret. You ever heard that book before? Yeah. The Secret is nothing but Satanism. And I mean Satanism as it comes from the devil, because it says you can speak things into existence. But it's a book that doesn't talk about God. It talks about the universe. That if you speak to the universe will give you things. They got that same bad theology from the church. And they took away God and they fooled a lot of unbelieving people into it. Brother Mike?
You know, when I can remember reading the Bible and not understanding and going to Bible study because of that.
Yeah.
Ask God to, you know, how can you say, for us the words, show me the light or give me some light.
That's right.
Just to understand it. Okay, and since then I have got it, you know, a million times over. I know now that when I have difficulty with something, I ask him about it, and I go back to it, and I think about it a little bit.
That's right, that's right.
He'll open it right up.
That's right, he sure will. He sure will. I've seen God do that a thousand times. I mean, just when you wrestle with something and you know, God, I need an answer or a word, and you go back, you may not get it then, but you wrestle and you ask God again, you go back, and then eventually God will drop it to you in the Bible, or some Christian brother or sister will come and say it, and it's the answer. Or just sometimes you're just walking and the connection is just made and you have one of those aha moments, you know?
So
yeah.
No.
You know, actually, when it comes to, we had a class we taught about money and finances and how to get wealth and empowerment. And Jesus actually did teach something. He taught us in Luke chapter 16. He says, make to yourselves friends of the what, Pastor Jay?
Of the world, of mammon.
Of the unrighteousness of mammon. That when you fail, it may receive you into everlasting habitations. Because the children of the world are wiser than the children of the kingdom. What Jesus was saying, what is the unrighteousness of mammon? Money. That money, yeah. That mammon is money. You can't serve God and money, mammon. Jesus says you need to know how money works. You need to understand how investments work, how stocks work, how, you know, interest-bearing accounts work. Because we should be able to see a return on our investment, Jesus said. But we act like we have a poor man's mentality. Oh, God wants us to be broke and have nothing. No, God wants you to be able to invest what you had. Think about this, Brother Mike. How many times did God say a certain landowner had all this land and he gave to one servant 5 talents and another servant this talent and that talent? And what did he want back? He wanted back double what he gave. Jesus was teaching us a lot of different things. He says those people in the world, there's so much more than people in the kingdom. And it's true. You know, can we open up the Wall Street Journal and look and read these codes and say, hey, IBM went down 5%. It's time to take $1,000 and put it in IBM, because I know that the new rumor is they're getting a new CEO and it's going to bounce right back. We should be savvy like that.
On the spiritual side.
Correct. Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus told us, make to yourself friends with the unrighteousness of mammon. But it's the most untaught scripture in all of Jesus' commands. They skip right over that.
Yes.
But Jesus said that. Look it up, Luke 16. Correct.
So,
but you should still be able to be so wise that your investments are making money.
Okay.
Here's, let me give you this really quick thing. This is really good. There are 3 ways you'll look at money. One, as is a poor man, a middle class man, or a rich man. Here's the difference. How does a rich man see money?
As an investment.
As an investment. When a rich man gets money, he tries to put it into something that will make him money. How does a middle class person see money?
50-50.
They'll spend 50 and they'll save 50. How does a poor man see money?
Spend it all.
Something to spend. We have got to break that mentality that says, ooh, I got $1,000. Ooh, I can buy. And At least the middle class says, I'm going to spend 500 and save 500. But that rich man says, ooh, I'm going to take this $1,000 and I'm going to give it to my stockbroker to go put on the latest, you know, company coming out of Africa that's making pharmaceuticals. And then in 1 year's time, his 1,000 has become 10,000.
Right.
You know, but we have got to change our mentality. Jesus told us to. Make friends with it. Know how money works. You know, we should be all personal friends with whoever is the investment banker in our bank. We should know my first name. Have them in our phone. Be able to call them up. Chuck, you know, I have $300. I put it in my savings. I've been saving for the past 2 years. I've got about 4,000 bucks in the bank. I see you, Pastor Jay. I got about 4,000 bucks in the bank. What can I do with this $4,000 so I can make some money on it? You know, but we don't keep that mentality. That's how we as believers are supposed to get wealth. Not by $100 lines, not by schemes and scams. And if you invest all this and this, that, and in the preacher's pocket, God will pour out a blessing. That's a scam. We have an individual responsibility to invest that money wisely. You know, we are commanded by our master to know how it works. Mutual funds, stocks and bonds, Roth IRAs, all this kind of stuff. We should have known from the time we were a child. We should have been the nerdiest kids in school talking about what you doing with your money. What are you going to buy, Stephanie? I'm going to invest it in my portfolio. What? But that's because that's how the rich kids are. You know, what did your father give you for Christmas? Oh, my father gave me a 5% stock option in this company. Ooh, wow. That means by the time I'm 18, I'm going to be a millionaire. And they get excited about this kind of stuff. And the poor kid's like, ah, dummy, I got a toy. Ooh, the head fell off. You know, yeah, we've got to change it. We've got to change it. But you know, a lot of the flims and flams that happen is because we're destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And one thing that's really goes along the same money line is speaking things into existence. You know, oh, you know what? You got to be able to speak and say, I got money in the bank, when there's no money in the bank. You can't do that. Only God can speak to things that are not as though they were. The best thing they should have said was this: ask God to speak to to your empty bank account. You should have said, ask God, God, can you speak a word so there can be some money for me to pay my bills? But instead, we're going around trying to speak life into things. Never. Only God speaks life. Brother Mike?
That sounds crazy. You know, look to where hence your help comes from. You know, so I have nothing in my pocket. I'm looking up here. You know, and I've always asked myself, you know, well, he's saying, you know, look to the heavens where your help comes from. But he's giving you, you know, after a while, after thinking about it, you know, a light bulb comes on. He gives you the education or the understanding, you know, to get the dollar or the secret.
To help yourself.
Okay, it's not that, you know, you look up there and then money's going to come.
That's right.
You know, it's going to be some insight given to you by him.
Correct.
How to do it.
Yep. One of the saddest stories I heard.
Come down to one basic Bible principle now.
Yeah.
The Bible said, see, now, and act.
Correct.
Each one of these three.
Correct.
Is not in the will of God.
Correct.
Nothing can happen.
Correct.
So when you see, you knock, and you ask, if it's not according to the will of God.
That's right. That's why I'm so tired of so many people teaching. That's right. And preaching. You can speak stuff into existence. You can march around that car and say that it's yours. You can claim that it's yours. No. Go to the finance director and see if you can work out a deal. And if you can afford the payments and the down payment, then it's yours. And hopefully you have saved enough money through your investments that your money has made money so that when you buy the car, it's not being pulled out of your salary trying to maintain these payments. We got to have a different mentality about all this. Different mentality. Stephanie?
So, that verse 17, that does not apply to us.
Sure doesn't.
No, besides, like you were saying, I've heard so many people say that, even people, you know, preaching things like that from the pulpit.
Out of context. Let me ask you a question. Can you raise somebody from the dead? Do you have the power to impart life to a dead body? No. The only thing you can do is ask God to raise the dead. That's it. So what makes us so arrogant if we can't do the first part, make us think we can do the second part. But that's arrogancy, you know. But actually, it makes for a good sermon, and a good sermon makes for a good cha-ching in the offering plate. I'm serious. I can't tell you how many times I've seen people line up and learn how to speak things into existence. They get all excited and they're charged up, and when it doesn't happen, they blame God. God, you're wrong, because your word said I could speak life into things. The word never said you could speak life. Only God speaks life. Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. God is not a genie. He's not. And I'm tired of this little genie theology. If you command it, God's got to do it because he's your genie. He's your servant. God is not your servant. We're the servants. He's God, and he's great.
I have another question. You know how, like, when people say, okay, Christ is in you. So if Christ is in you, everything you need, you have within you because of Christ.
Because you're complete in Christ.
Okay.
Correct. If you have Jesus Christ, you are completely complete. Okay. Because we were incomplete when we were born. So we had to be born again. The new spirit had to be birthed so that Christ could live in our hearts. Now we're complete. No part of us is lacking or missing.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
It's great, you know, because it says, you know, our people have robbed me and blah, 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 you know, bringing this food, bringing the
tithes and offerings
to the store.
We're going to get to that. 1 second. That's actually the next one. That's actually number 6 on our top 10. We're going to get to that. 1 second. Sister Wanda?
I'm sitting right now, you know, in the hot seat, right?
Okay. Yeah, sitting in the hot seat. Okay.
And I'm taking all of this in. Okay, and some of it I truly do understand. I mean, you cannot just call those things into existence. I know that you have to bring your heart's desire to the Lord. And also I understand that you have to be in the right frame of mind. And anything that you ask the Lord
That's
for,
right.
You can't just
we can
say,
ask amiss.
Yeah, right.
That's
and
right.
We can pray amiss. We can
That we may consume it on our lusts.
Yes, I understand
That's
all
right.
that too. But then I understand a verse in the Bible that does, and I'm going to say this, that many preachers have put together with that. Jesus said, you will do greater works.
Okay. Let me ask you a question.
So wait.
Okay.
Let me just finish.
But watch though. I want to point from right here. When Jesus says you will do greater works, or did he say ye will do greater works?
I'm not sure. I'm not. Whoa.
He said ye.
Ye. So who was he referring to?
His disciples.
Okay.
And that's also us, the believers, the church. What kind of greater works was he talking about?
Kingdom work,
evangelism, you know, proving God by signs and wonders,
right.
Not about financial things and speaking things into existence.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because that's one thing. You will never personally do a greater work than Jesus, never.
No.
But we, as a body, over a billion people, we can be evangelizing on every continent, in every country, in that continent, in every language, in that country, at the same time. That's a greater work. He was limited to just Jerusalem and Judea, and he went a couple of times into Samaria. That's it. That's the greater work Jesus was talking about. No one Christian will ever be greater than Jesus. But together we can do a greater work than he did, because we expanded his work around the globe.
Okay.
So Paul went farther and did.
Paul went further, exactly, because. Correct.
So he would. He. Can't he,
but he didn't go by himself. It was Paul and Barnabas. Then it was Paul and Silas. And then Paul and Timothy. Yeah. Paul and always Luke. Luke was always with Paul. So even then, Paul was never alone. Yeah. They always need the ye to come together. Greater works. And we're going to get to tithes. I promise we're getting tithes and offerings next, because that's the next one. Are you ready for the next one now?
But what I want to ask you was,
okay.
You know, you know, God has a funny way of saying things, ironic way of saying things sometimes, because he tells you that if someone needs something, to give it to them, don't send them off.
That's right.
Without it, okay, what good would you be if you do that?
Right.
But then he turned around and said, preach the gospel to the poor.
Right.
So if I'm poor, I need some money. And,
Let's go back to context again. Why did Jesus say preach the gospel to the poor?
So they would understand and know it and get to know it and be able to help themselves.
Because nobody was doing it. They were only, the Pharisees were only going where it was financially lucrative.
Okay. All right.
What's the purpose? If your source of income comes from the offerings, why in the world should I go across the street to these poor folks when I got folks that got good jobs over here?
Okay.
So they were neglecting the poor,
yes,
and the elderly and the widows. They got nothing. In fact, Jesus says that the Pharisees were devouring widows' houses and taking everything they could from them and taking their land. It ought not be so with us. We give the gospel freely. We minister to freely, regardless of condition. Take the book of James. He says, don't you be a respecter of persons. If one man comes in with some real good clothes and another man comes in with rags, you to treat them both the same way. If you treat one better than the other, you're a respecter of persons and you don't really know the Lord. Yeah, so that's the kind of emphasis on that. You know, yeah, yeah.
Even up to today, they have pastors and, you know, they won't come to this church because they know they won't receive a big salary.
That's correct.
You understand? They have to go to California and these, you know, big places.
Big mega church.
That
has so mega bucks.
But the gospel must be preached to the poor.
Even that's right.
Financial support. You have to get the gospel there.
That's right.
So that is what he was talking about.
Exactly. Exactly. It's so important to understand that Jesus, he changed the whole thing around, you know. He made everything about the kingdom. Let's go to number 6. Are we okay on that one there? All right. Number 6, paying tithes and offerings will make you rich.
No.
You've heard that before, haven't you? God's not blessing you because you're not paying your tithes and offerings. Oh, you know what? If you would only pay your tithes and offerings, God would make you rich. And as proof of that, they go to Malachi. Let's turn to Malachi. Here we are, Brother Mike. Right where you are. Malachi, and I think it's chapter 3. And it starts off in a very excellent verse in verse 8. Will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? First of all, understand the context of Malachi. Malachi is the last of the written Old Testament prophets for 400 years. Malachi is God's last word to Israel before he takes a 430-year silence. So Malachi's book, it's an awesome book, but it's a series of questions between God and Israel. And God says to Israel, will a man rob me? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? Because they didn't think they stuck up God. Here's what he said, watch. In tithes and in offerings. Tithes and in offerings today is not the same as tithes and offerings in Israel's day. When we want tithes and offerings, we get a basket and we pass it around, and some folks put envelopes and they put up straight, and they put what in the basket?
Money,
cash, checks. Some churches are savvy and take credit cards, but they put what in the basket?
Money.
Show me in the Old Testament anywhere where a tithe or an offering was money.
It was always animals.
It was always grains. It was always a food commodity. Somebody say why?
Why?
Because the tithes and the offerings fed who?
The widows and the
Levites and the priests.
Okay.
They were not allowed to have jobs. They were not allowed to grow their own crops in their own fields. So Israel was bringing to God these crippled up lambs and diseased chickens and all kind of stuff. They figured, what good does it do me? It's sick anyway. Might as well give it to God. And Malachi was disgusted by that. So God was like, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. You say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You see, God was robbed because the Levites were being robbed. You hurt them, God says. You just hurt me. So when somebody uses in church about, you know, God, you know, you're not going to get blessed. You're not going to get rich. God is going to come against you if you don't pay that tithes and offering. You say, do you want one can of Cap'n Crunch? I mean, one box of Cap'n Crunch or two? I'm being real. The idea of giving like an offering that was a coin value or of a financial thing is a New Testament term. A New Testament concept, rather. Because Jesus says, hey, to the Pharisees. Pharisees, you pay tithes of mint, anise, and cumin. But you have omitted the weightier matter of the law, which is love, mercy, and justice. This you ought to have done and leave the other undone. Jesus says, it's more important for you to live a righteous life than for you to give a lousy, not because it was weak, mint, tithes, and cumin. It was big money they were giving. The Pharisees weren't cheap. They were giving lavishly. But God said, I'm not so concerned with all these little financial things. I'm more concerned with how you live. That's why in the New Testament, the command of tithing is not there. Did you know that? What's in the New Testament? Offerings. Giving of offerings. Paul said those that preach the gospel have a right to live by the gospel. In fact, there's a verse here in Amos. It's really, really good. Move, fly. I tell you, when I start teaching and preaching, good flies start coming about trying to distract me. I'm not sure if I'm going to find it for you today. But it's an awesome verse in Amos where God gives a prophecy through Amos that people that teach should not collect any money. Why do you think they said that in the Old Testament? Because that's where the problem began. They were only going to those that had money and wealth and teaching to them. So God said, hey, don't take any money and you'll teach to everybody. But then in the New Testament changes. Those that preach the gospel should live by the gospel. You know, so this whole thing about tithes and offerings will make you rich is a lie. Look at the next verse. Sorry, again.
I have a question.
I'm stepping on some toes now.
You certainly are. You stepping on my toes. Got me in a hot seat and everything here. I have to tell you, Pastor Steph. It was so much the amount. It was an enormous amount. But the whole thing of me giving it up as an offering,
as
it
an
taught
offering.
Me a lesson.
As a what?
As an offering.
As an offering.
As an offering. I was
correct.
Paying my tithes. That's the whole thing in itself. But I'm talking about in the situation that me and the Lord had encountered, He was showing me that I can give you money. You don't have to worry about money in that way. He gave me an enormous amount. I did not have it anywhere at all. But it came. And when it came, I knew in my spirit, boom, I had to give it up.
Okay.
You understand? So it was on me. It was more on breaking something in
correct.
Me as far as just being able to let go of money like that.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay, because I could not, I was never a person, a family, friends, but an enormous amount of money like that. He broke that whole thing of me pulling back. Because I've always believed in don't give a certain amount to someone unless you're just willing. Even if they say borrow it, still, in your mind, give it.
Correct.
That's what God had to teach me.
Think of this. Does God bless you so you can be selfish?
No.
He blesses you so you can bless others.
Right.
That's always been the case. You know, if one believer has an abundance and another believer is lacking, something is wrong in that church. You catch me on that? If one believer has abundance and another believer is lacking, something is wrong in that church. It happens all the time because we think that our blessings we deserve and it come to us and they belong only to us. And the reason that Sister Wanda is struggling is because she don't have my relationship with God. So whenever she gets right, God will give her her thing. And that's a horrible mentality because the early church, they shared things equally. Nobody lacked anything. Nobody did. Barnabas sold all his property and gave it to the church. Ananias and Sapphira sold all their property, but they only gave part of it to the church. And God would have been okay with that. Peter said, it was yours to do with whatever you want to. But why would you lie to God and tell everybody you gave it all?
When you did.
When you didn't. And God gave them the death penalty. Drop dead, drop dead. Why? Because they didn't lie to men. They lied to the face of God. They lied to the Holy Ghost.
That is just a lie. Why did he take their lives?
That's deep. It's just a lie. To us, things are just a lie. But what did Jesus say about lies? That Satan is the father of lies. And when we speak a lie, we speak of who our true father is. It's deep. So even though they had to die.
You didn't tell me that.
Yeah, John 8:44. But look at what Peter says before they drop dead. He says, Satan has filled your heart to lie. They were demon possessed with Satan inside. Peter wasn't kidding. The devil was infiltrating the church through Ananias and Sapphira, and the doorway that got the devil into their heart was greed.
So say that part again. If you speak a lie.
Yep.
That Satan
is your father. Because he was a liar from the beginning.
He's the father.
And I love what it says.
I don't think I'm going to ever have a problem with a white lie again.
That's right. That's right. We think it's little. But God, it's an abomination. Lying lips are an abomination unto the Lord. What does the word abomination mean? Remember that? The worship of a false god. Whenever we lie, we give worship to the devil. That is heavy. God is serious about sin. We think it's small. God is no joke. Brother Mike?
You know that sin is an inside thing too, because you know, you won't know if I'm lying to you. You know, nobody won't know.
Correct.
So that's something that people don't even, well, I haven't seen a couple of people that look at it. You know, I happen to look at it because it's dealing with my conscience.
Right.
People do that every day. They ain't trying to stop it like cigarettes or alcohol.
That's correct.
Addiction or
that's right.
Robbery or
lying is addiction. Lying is addictive. You can get addicted to lying. I got addicted to lying. I'm telling you, I used to lie and then tell another lie because it was more fun to lie than to tell the truth. It was addictive. I had actually trained myself on how to stop lying and speak the truth to my neighbor. That's a command in the Bible. Speak the truth every man to their neighbor.
That's not a joke.
Yeah, that's good. You got to practice the truth. Because this tongue. I'm serious. This tongue.
And you have to lie to the people on the phone.
You probably called me up and lied to me too.
But it was a job. But then I had to remember that a job is a choice.
The job is a choice.
So either leave that choice or move on.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. made your life a little bit harder, right? But committed unto the Lord. Committed unto the Lord. God got you, Mike. God's got you on that. But look at the next verse here. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. So when Malachi was given their judgment, God was holding the entire nation of Israel guilty, because the majority or the minority or whoever it was a group of people, were robbing God. And they were robbing him because they were robbing the people of God. The Levites were starving and hungry and getting all kind of messed up stuff, and it wasn't really good. So look at the solution that God had for them. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Now, why would the tithe be going to the storehouse and not to the temple? That's where your tithes and offering went. They went to the temple. So the priest was. So why was God telling them, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse? Because of everything that they had robbed, you recompense that and you bring it back to them Levites so that they could have something to eat and that they could survive and say, God, I thank you for the privilege of serving you. Instead of saying, God, it's just too hard. You know, because what they would say, God, it's just too hard. It's too hard serving you. My family is dying and we got nothing. And Lord, I'm trying to live righteous and serve your people and they won't give back to me. But they could say something different because the tithes now were being returned back to God into the storehouse. Why? That there may be meat in mine house. Not talking about that they would bring money into the storehouse so that the priest could go out to the store and buy some meat. They took the lambs and they were the best butchers Israel knew, doing all them sacrifices and cutting the skins and making tents for their family and making clothes for their children and eating. They brought animals. This is all about animals, y'all. That there may be meat in mine house, that means among the priests, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. That's what Jesus taught. Give, and it shall come back to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall people give into your bosom, because you've given to others. That's what our master commands. Give. Be generous. Give. Has nothing to do with Malachi and tithes and offerings and being cursed with a curse. In fact, check this out. Every curse of the Old Testament was put on that cross of Calvary. Because Jesus Christ became a curse. There is not one curse in the Old Testament that will ever apply to a believer in Jesus. Never. Because Christ, who knew no sin, became sin. Christ, who knew no curse, became a curse. Cursed is every man that hangeth where?
On a tree.
On a tree. And that's where they hung Jesus Christ, on that cross of Calvary. He was hung with the curse. So next time you hear a preacher say, hey, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. You bring them a chicken, you bring them some oatmeal, you bring them some grain, and I'm just making a joke on that part. But that's what Malachi is talking about. And don't you get twisted. You are cursed with a curse because you did not give. That's a lie. There is no curse on me from God because I am God's anointed. I am God's favorite. And Jesus Christ took every curse. And all that God has left for you is blessings. Blessings. How do you get more money from God? By just being generous. Have you ever seen that? You were giving and somehow you got it back from God. Or you got more back from God and you wondered how it happened. Yeah, you can't beat God's giving. So the offering call should be, hey, here's an opportunity for you to give and then get God to give to you. But guess what? It's not all about the offering plate either. Look around to your brothers and sisters. Ask God, where should I? God, you've given me this to give. Where should I give it? And you may see your brother or sister struggling. The Holy Spirit may say to you, they may look proper and nice, but the Holy Spirit say to you, you need to give this to Sister Stephanie. And you have no idea why. But you go to Stephanie, the Lord said, I need to give you this $300. I don't know why. And then she'll say, you know what? I was exactly $300 short in my rent this month. And my landlord had threatened to kick me out because I was late 3 times this year. And I thank God because only God could have told you that.
That's
right. So don't think that give and it'll come back to you is only about an offering plate. That's not what Jesus says. He said give, because the principle in Malachi was give to the people of God who were starving and God will give back to you. The principle of Jesus is give to whomever the Spirit leads you to give. It's important to give in church. The church has needs and church has needs. But guess what? Your brothers and sisters in Christ may also have needs.
But then isn't it on, okay, that's the part that I wanted to get to. Okay, you're giving your tithe into the church. And isn't the church supposed to take care of the ones who are there in the house as far
yes.
as...
Yes,
okay,
yes, yes.
Here it is. You said Sister Stephanie. Okay, let's say Sister Stephanie has been sick for a while. Okay, so we as the body of Christ, we're going to say, well, she hasn't been working. So you know what? Why don't we just pay her rent for the month?
That's the way it's supposed to be.
Okay.
Nobody's supposed to suffer lack in the body.
Okay.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. No one is supposed to suffer lack in the body.
Well, is it?
That's the way it's supposed to be.
Okay.
You know? And I mean, that's the way our good, healthy church operates. But a lot of churches are not good and healthy. A lot of churches, they take the money and the preacher gets paid first. What's left over goes for the rent and the lights and the utilities. And every now and then you'll hear the preacher say, we need to increase our giving because we can't pay the expenses of what we need to operate. So I want everybody to give a double tithe next month, and then a month after that a triple tithe, and then we'll be able to get the back rent paid and pay the landlord. And people should be asking, why wasn't the landlord paid? Because he paid himself first. And I know many churches that do that.
You know, I just came to church. I'm very upset about that because people look at other people and, what? You don't pay no tithes? That's
See?
Why the situation is the way it is with you.
Exactly. And that's a lie.
I've said that a million times in my church.
And, that's right.
And they sing a song. This guy sings a song. I like the way that this minister preaches.
Yeah.
But I really hate when he does that tithe thing, because he will go around and say, you know, I'm not going to point people out and I won't speak out and say this, but how can you tell us you make this amount of money per year and you giving us your tax thing and you only giving, you know, about a good $500 for the whole year. It makes me so angry when he starts talking about tithes, because who are you to even express that to everybody in the church? That's really none of your business.
That's right.
He's getting his. You know what I'm saying?
Of course. Of course.
And it just makes me so angry. And he doesn't point anybody out, but he makes this a general talk.
Yeah, and that's not good. That's not
and
good.
And I always think when I go home to pray, because I think that's wrong.
Right. Because that's manipulation. And a lot of places use manipulation. And it's not good. I remember when God was first calling me to ministry, I didn't want to go into ministry because I knew of all the abuses financially that the people were putting on people. And I didn't want to get caught up in that. And I said, God, help me never to see people as dollar signs. Help me never see people as dollar signs. You know?
My church, you know that? The more money you pay, the more people know you.
Like, yeah. Lord have mercy.
Woo!
You're telling the truth, brother.
Exactly.
You're telling the truth.
And they
I think that's really a
yeah.
the most
truth.
And they use that thing, God loves a cheerful giver.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right.
But you know what? For me, I find that my giving, I have to kind of be led. I have to be led by the Holy Spirit. I understand about tithe and offerings, you know, but there's still, I just feel that it's not a commandment, but I feel that if you in yourself go to the Lord and you ask the Lord, what should I be giving? Or what should I put into this church that I am?
Yes.
See, that's
the way it's supposed to be.
And that's how,
because that's what I teach. I teach spirit-led giving.
Yes. Or it may be a time that I may come with my tithe and the Lord is saying, you know, you see this new sister that just walked in. And I mean,
that's the way it's supposed to be in the body of Christ. Because if we were just allowing the Spirit to lead us in our giving, no one would suffer lack. The church would be paid. The minister would have a salary and everything would be fine. Because God knows who needs what. I don't know. You don't know. None of us know. But when the Spirit says, give. Mm-hmm. And give to Sister Jasmine. And I don't know why, but I just obey. Because you never know. She may be on the brink of getting kicked out of school her senior year, and this is what she needs to pay her tuition. You never know, but God knows what needs we have. When the Bible says, God shall supply all your needs, how do you think he's going to do it? Just rain it down from heaven? He uses us. He uses us. Are we not his body? Are we not his hands, his feet? Are we not his arms? We're made to give. And give to one another.
I think with that, I have learned, like, way from the beginning before I came to the church where I was. Because the pastor there, she was just ripping the people off. And would say to the people, who got $100? People standing for $100. Then they went to $50. Then they went all the way down to $10. And then they went, when they went all the way down to $10, then they said, now I know y'all got $5.
Yeah.
So, you know, after, you know, but you know what?
That's correct.
See, but
and sometimes that $5 is for some other purpose completely.
Right. But you know what? See, in the midst of that, in praying to the Lord,
when I really caught on with things, because I said, anything I give, I want it to be unto the Lord.
Yes.
So if they take it to do X, Y, and Z, because one time they needed everybody, the whole church, and it was a big, huge church, to put $500 a piece, because they needed this and needed that. And you know what? After, it was called a 500 club. Everybody was putting $500 in. After the 500 was put in, then the next thing what they did was, two years later, they said, and I'm like, wait a minute, if people put $500 then, and now you're talking about 2 years later, $500 again, you know what I used to do? Because the Lord didn't even leave me, I would tap the basket. I would go up there, Lord, you do whatever you want to do with whatever was in there.
That's right.
Because if my heart is not being led to
it. But people are manipulated all the time. And they use, unfortunately, the word of God to manipulate. You know, it's a sad, sorry state of existence that we find ourselves in.
God is leading you to give.
Yeah. But you know, that's a guilt thing they put on you, because they look at you and say, you know, sister such and such didn't give this month. Oh, sister such and such, she ain't been giving the last 6 months. You know, make sure she get a tithe and roll.
I know certain churches that if you're an officer in the church and you haven't paid your tithe in like 2-3 months, they will drop you from your office and give your office to somebody else and make you sit down. Kid you not.
They do that.
Born and raised in that church.
Some choirs too, they do that.
Some choirs do that also.
You can't sing in the choir unless you don't pay your tithes.
Yep. Like I said, it's important to break a spirit of stinginess or greediness, but you don't manipulate people. You teach them how to listen to the Spirit.
Yes.
And say that God expects you all. Actually, truthfully, you know what percentage of what you own belongs to God is not 10%.
It's
all of it. All of it belongs to God.
Mm-hmm.
Just be real. All of it. Every last bit, if you... You know, somebody say, hey, look, it goes $10. That $10 is God's $10. He's kind enough to give it to you. If you work and you get, you know, your paycheck, that paycheck is God's paycheck. He's nice enough to give it to you. You know, if you find a bag of money in the street, that bag of money is God's bag of money. He's just nice enough to give it to you. And our response to whatever God gives us is, what do you want me to do with it?
Yes.
And the answer is, you got to give some away. And the other answer is, you got to invest some of it. Ooh, yeah, I forgot about that part. But it's true though. Because Jesus says, when you fail, if you were to lose your job, have you built in enough investment that your investments can pay all your bills? And pay, you know, and because Jesus says, when you fail, it will receive you into everlasting habitations. You've invested so wisely that your business will just carry you forward. Warren Buffett, Donald Trump, and Bill Gates don't have to ever work a day in their life. But they're mega billionaires. But there are people who are not as rich that also don't have to work. Their investments are constantly paying their bills. They've invested for years. They own real estate. They own businesses. They own whatever. And they can sit at home. The only thing they collect is a check. Ooh, I'll put that in the bank. I'll find something else to invest in. I'm going to buy a McDonald's. But I'm being real. That's what Jesus wants us to do. That's how we're supposed to get wealth. See, people don't want to preach that, though. That's not the kind of thing that's a fill an offering pot. But it's the truth from the Word of God.
You know what? I've been trying to get my husband to see this point. He has been a manager in Food Emporium, what has been like 30-something years. Get your own store. Why don't you stop working for these people?
That's right.
Okay? You and...
That's right.
Keep calling me. Boss, what you want me to do? Boss, how you want me to set
That's
this?
Right.
Boss, if you eat off hours, come on now, huh?
That's right.
Get your own store.
That's right.
You know what I'm
yep.
saying? Down there in North Carolina, they got the little
That's right.
stores and stuff
yep.
everywhere.
Exactly. 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 That's the way to do it. That's the way to do it. Let's take on one more controversial topic and we'll get out of here.